You want a war? You're gonna get one.
Now get the guns, the drugs, to my generation, I'll take the fall. The saints, the combination, and it's a sex. The gods, the freaks, the frauds, they're messing with me. Come on, come on, come on, let's get it out. Move to my music, play that fucking music. Live through my music, yeah.
Welcome back to Reliving the War, and welcome to the 8th of March, 1999. This week we've got WCW Nitro from Worcester, Mass, and WWF Raw coming from Pittsburgh, PA. You've maybe heard about this week's episode of Monday Nitro. It's pretty well known for having absolutely no wrestling matches during its first 60 minutes. Actually, it's a little over 60 minutes when including commercial breaks. So that means I've no wrestling matches to talk about during the first part of Reliving the War. Wonderful. Fear not though, ladies and gents, because Jam Up guy Victor Luna totally makes up for the lack of wrestling with this sweet picture he sent over to Wrestling Bio's headquarters. Big Ahmed Johnson, Reliving the War legend and liker of all things Michael. Ahmed attended a local wrestling show and Victor was able to meet the Pearl River Powerhouse in what I'm sure was a life-changing moment for both parties. Thank you very much, Victor, and I hope you don't fall asleep during our number one of Monday Nitro. We see the barbed wire steel cage getting constructed at the very beginning of Nitro before cutting over to a conversation Ric Flair and Arn Anderson had during Thunder. This conversation also opened up the Thunder broadcast, so if you watched WCW on Thursday night, there was no point sitting through this again. Basically, Arn wants Ric to think twice about how he's approaching this whole David Flair situation. Ric says he knows what he's doing and his son needs to be taught a lesson if he wants to run about with guys like Hall, Nash and Hogan. Ric says David's gonna wake up one day and realize he made a mistake. The Nature Boy loves his son, but right now Ric's laser focused on winning the world belt at Uncensored. Arn stands up, he says he's heard all he needs to hear, and the Enforcer's gonna go and make up his own mind about this whole mess. Kinda weird after he flat out told David he was done with him last week, but sure, WCW. AC Jazz is then given some time to talk about her upbringing and what she ultimately wants to get out of life. Not sure if this is what people really wanted to see, to be honest, but I'd hazard a guess and say no, nobody wanted to see this. A pet announcement from the New World Order then airs, and it's basically Hulk Hogan making fun of Ric Flair and his strained relationship with his son David. Hogan says Ric Flair's even worse than Hulk himself. The Nature Boy loves wrestling, and that love of pro wrestling cost Ric his son. Hogan admits that he's a bad man, you don't say, but he's not rotten like Ric Flair. Ric's ego's completely out of control, and the Nature Boy wants to run WCW more than he wants a relationship with young David. Hollywood then hypes up the cage match a little before Nitro takes a commercial break, and we then come back to another pet announcement from the New World Order. This time it's Hogan and Nash watching Flair's promo from last week, and it's more of the same really. No joke, you can completely guess what's being said here and you'd be absolutely right, there's nothing of value at all. Hogan says Flair's wearing a JCPenney suit from 1984. Nash says the pretty blonde Flair spoke about last week was Buddy Landell. And yeah, it's pretty much a promo watch along with the NWO. You'd think this would be good, but it really isn't. It's a waste of time. After watching the promo, Hogan and Nash decide they need to have a discussion with Tori. Nash says they need to go to Plan B. Scott Steiner and Buff Bagwell continue their journey to Panama City Beach, but they get pulled over by cops for speeding. If they don't want to serve jail time, they'll have to do some police work, and our boys agree to fight crime all around the main streets of Boston. The lads stop a lady from smoking indoors, Buff writes her a ticket and Scott says, do the crime, pay the fine. They find a guy who didn't pay the parking meter, and when the poor SOB says he has no change, the boys decide to check for themselves. Starsky and Hutch then give a guy a ticket for littering, and all this leads to the cops giving Scott and Buff a free pass and they manage to stay out of trouble. Honestly, this was the most entertaining part of Nitro so far. Hogan and Nash find Tori at a shooting range, they tell her they need to meet up and discuss Plan B. So they go to dinner and Tori introduces Hogan and Nash to another woman. This is Miss Denise Robinson and the NWO have a job for her. For 20 grand, she has to seduce David Flair, or at least we think it's David Flair she has to seduce, we aren't sure. But Kevin says Denise will be $20,000 richer in 6 days' time if she gets the job done. Gonna be honest, this first hour of Nitro with no wrestling wasn't all that bad, seeing as every other Nitro leading up to this point had been filled with backstage bullshit anyway. If this means we don't have a million cutaways in the middle of the show, then I might be for it, but at the same time, it is ridiculous having a wrestling show with no fucking wrestling on it. I did like the Buff and Steiner bit, but I'm already sick of hearing about Rick and David Flair. Raw begins with the corporate champ cutting a promo on Nitro. Oh my god, it's a David Flair promo. The Rock's not a happy man tonight. On Sunday Night Heat, he took a Stone Cold Stunner and he's blaming it on Paul White. Paul was sent up the ramp to intercept Stone Cold, but Austin appeared from the crowd and The Rock got attacked. Rock thinks Paul might be working alongside Stone Cold. The champ wants Paul to come out to the ring for a chat, but instead, Rock gets the chairman, Mr. McMahon himself. Vince says Rock has to stop washing corporate laundry in public and he has to stop right now. McMahon blames the fans for all this. Rock has to listen to Vince and not these people. And Rock says he does believe Vince, but there's just way too many red flags right now where Paul White's concerned. He's screwed up one too many times. McMahon may think Paul's a card-carrying member of the corporation, but Rock thinks Paul's a card-carrying Rudy Poo candy ass. Paul comes out and he says he's not sure which is shorter, The Rock's memory or his manhood. It was Rock who told Paul to cut Austin off at the rampway on Heat, so it clearly wasn't White's fault that Rock took a stunner. Paul then says he might just leave and give Vince his money back because all this isn't worth it right now. We hear the sound of a car crash as Mick Foley makes his way out to the entrance stage. Mankind confirms that he is indeed the second referee for the WrestleMania main event, so that victory against The Undertaker last week must have counted. He then offers his services again as a special referee for a potential Rock vs. Paul White match, but Vince says Mankind has one more job to do if he wants to officiate that WrestleMania match. He has to step into the ring against Stone Cold Steve Austin tonight on Raw. Paul White's going to officiate the match, The Rock can join the commentary team, and this'll also give Paul White a chance to prove himself to the Great One. Steve Austin comes out and he basically says he doesn't care about all this referee and guest commentator business. Austin's happy to fight Mick Foley tonight on Raw, and Stone Cold promises to leave WrestleMania as the new WWF champion. I know this was a long-winded way of booking a Mankind vs. Steve Austin main event for tonight, but the first 15 minutes of Raw absolutely destroyed the first 60 minutes of Nitro. We switch over to TNT, and there he is, Nature Boy David Flair. This was supposed to be a Goldberg interview, but we have a David Flair takeover on Nitro. Young David says he's not leaving the ring until his dad comes out to speak with him. Tori says they're not going to dress down to their underwear and handcuff themselves to the ring ropes. So here comes Bill Goldberg to hopefully slap David around and hopefully make that red face of his even redder. I'm not sure if that's possible though. Goldberg gets in the ring, he says he respects the Flair family and that's why he's not beating the shit out of David right this instant, but David needs to learn a little respect himself seeing as he's out here taking up Goldberg's promo time. David grows a set and he starts poking the bear a bit, and I busted out laughing when Goldberg grabbed David by the shirt right here, it's brilliant. Ric Flair sees all this go down and he dashes down to the ring to save his son. Goldberg takes a chop from Slick Rick, and Goldberg repays Flair with a press slam. Rick gets to his feet and he's a little taken back by Goldberg's actions. Goldberg says Flair's lost his family and it looks like he's lost his mind. Flair reminds Goldberg about who he is and how he's going to become world champion this Sunday. Goldberg doesn't really care about all that when he says Rick stepped over the line, and Flair says, "I am the line, pal." Flair then challenges Goldberg to a match tonight on Nitro, and the announcement gets a huge pop from the audience. You can see both men smiling when the crowd goes crazy at the mere mention of Flair versus Goldberg. So the match is made official, and we'll see these two in the ring later on tonight.
By the way, I want to say hi to my one little fan out there. Hello, Smokey, my cat.
D'Lo vs Owen Hart's our opening match on Raw. Nitro's opening match features Raven taking on Hack. Before our Raw main event, we see the Ministry of Darkness enter the Jobber locker room. They're looking for the Big Boss Man. The Enhancement dudes haven't seen the Boss Man around, so they're told to give the Boss Man a little message from the Undertaker. The boys get beaten up pretty badly, but let's hope it didn't stop them from having long, wonderful careers. Mankind, meanwhile, asks Steve Austin to let him win this Raw match tonight, seeing as Mick will then be able to referee Steve's match at WrestleMania. Austin repeats that he doesn't care who the special referee is, and Mick tells Stone Cold that if he changes his mind, all he has to do is give the signal. This Raw match is billed as a Steel City street fight. It starts off with both men beating the hell out of each other with a large bacon tray, and it's kinda weird seeing Owen in an ODQ match like this, isn't it? You never really think of Owen when you think about street fights and hardcore matches. It goes to the stage where D'Lo gets planted with a DDT, but back at ringside, Owen takes a ring step bump. When it gets back in the ring, Owen takes a hard shot with that bacon tray, but he gets up and he plans on using a brush handle to end the match. Brush handle meets broom, the two men go down, and Jeff Jarrett shows up to lend Owen a hand, but the plan backfires. D'Lo grabs Double J's guitar, Owen gets whacked, and D'Lo pins Owen Hart on Raw's War. Nothing special at all. On Nitro, Raven gives Hardcore Hack a hug before beating him up a little. Hack then gets thrown into the corner where some barbed wire sits at the top turnbuckle, and after watching a ton of ECW recently for an upcoming video, I did laugh a little when I saw this. It's a little safer than usual, put it that way. Hack takes a few shots with a Singapore cane. He comes back with a not so graceful leg drop from the apron. The two then go to the rampway where we can see Chastity cheering on Hack, I think, I don't know. And Raven then jumps through the entranceway set to put Hack through a table. It's kinda weird seeing a WCW match devolve like this, but gotta say, I like it. Bam Bam Bigelow then shows up. These three men are scheduled to face each other at Uncensored, by the way. Bigelow begins attacking Raven, the bell rings for a DQ finish, don't ask. And these three guys are going to fight all the way to the backstage area. The backstage fight lasts longer than the actual wrestling match. It's funny how WCW arguably has the better, more experienced hardcore wrestlers on their roster, yet this still comes across as copying WWF. The WWF, of course, was very much inspired by ECW when they began presenting hardcore matches. The brawl here is pretty good though. Highlights include Sandman getting thrown into the side of an ambulance and Raven performing a DDT on top of a limo. It ends with Bam Bam coming out on top though, so let's see what happens this Sunday at Uncensored. The Undertaker's sending his ministry out to find the Big Boss Man. Big Bub is in a lot of trouble and I hope he decided to stay at home tonight. This doesn't look good. The New Age Outlaws are back and they're taking on Al Snow and Bob Holly. On Nitro, it's Chris Jericho versus Liz Mark Jr. in a dog collar match.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, tune them all out.
Shut up.
Michael Cole announces a Four Corners elimination match at WrestleMania for the IC belt. Billy Gunn's gonna be a participant, and we assume the other participants are Ken Shamrock, Goldust, and champion Val Venus. Meanwhile, a triple threat hardcore title match will take place, pitting champion Bob Holly against Al Snow and Road Dogg. There's a few changes that happen along the way, but more on that later on. Not much going on in this match, and honestly, I can't talk about the in-ring stuff as much now, seeing as all the time gets dedicated to storylines and promos. This was a typical Outlaws match with Road Dogg getting singled out early on, but what's different here is the fact that the Outlaws' opponents don't get along. Snow and Holly don't want to tag each other in, and when they start beating each other up, Billy Gunn's able to make a tag. Billy cleans house, Holly stops him momentarily, Billy throws Holly into Snow, and that's enough to make Al Snow hit his partner with head. The Outlaws then perform a spike pile driver, and the Degenerates pick up a pinfall victory. The lights then go out in the arena, The Undertaker appears on the stage, and the Ministry of Darkness attack all four men. Undertaker slowly makes his way down to the ring, and he says before the night's over, the Big Boss Man's gonna come face to face with his maker and the Lord of Darkness. On Nitro, we learn that Perry Saturn's challenged Chris Jericho to a dog collar match at Uncensored, and quick side note, WCW are calling this a chain match. What Saturn doesn't know is that Chris Jericho's well versed in chain matches. He trained with the yogis and magic men in the mountains of Nepal, and Jericho wants to show off his skills by having a chain match right now with Liz Mark Jr. Liz Mark agrees, and it starts off well for Chris after a clothesline. Good use of the chain right there. Chris chokes his opponent out on the mat before wrapping the chain around his knee for a knee drop. Jericho stays vicious by hitting a clothesline while the chain was wrapped around his arm. Lismark then gets all wrapped up and Jericho tries to score a win, but Lismark kicks out and the match goes to the outside. When Jericho tries to get back inside the ropes, he ends up getting choked out. Lismark then tries to get in the ring with a top rope move, but he ends up getting his face wrecked instead. The match ends with a lion tamer while Lismark's again wrapped up in the chain, and Jericho wins via submission. Probably the only televised dog collar match that also included boring chants from the audience. The competitors did nothing wrong, I just think WCW fans are getting a little fed up. Before looking at our next matches, we should cover the next part of Raw separately. Jim Ross tells Steve Williams he won't let the WWF treat him the same way Jim's been treated, and Ross ends up walking down to the ring where he asks Michael Cole to join him for a moment. Jim shows everyone the mask and outfit the WWF wanted Steve Williams to wear upon his return to the company. We saw Steve wear this gear when he attacked Bart Gunn 2 weeks ago, and Ross says the whole gimmick the WWF had planned for Dr. Death is, and I quote, the biggest pile of horse crap Jim has ever seen in his life. Ross then brings up the fact that he trained Michael Cole to be the WWF's play-by-play guy and he got no thanks for it. As a matter of fact, Michael apparently went to the office and said Jim Ross shouldn't be on TV due to his current condition and how he might frighten children. So Ross gives Michael a kick in the balls before announcing that he's going back on commentary. The crowd popped for this, by the way. Everyone loved Jim Ross during this era. Jim joins Jerry Lawler, the King's a little surprised at how all this went down, but then we cut over to Vince McMahon who calls over Terry Taylor. Yeah, the Red Rooster has returned to WWF. Vince orders Taylor to go out there and replace JR. He also orders his stooges to keep an eye on the Ministry of Darkness, so out comes Terry Taylor to relieve Ross of his duties. Ross thinks Taylor's being a bit cocky, he thinks Terry's going to peck him to death maybe. He can't believe he's getting replaced by a mid-carder with a lousy win-loss record, but Jim has to go and Steve Williams comes down to bring him back up the ramp. Jim says he just wants to do his job, but we're going to have to listen to Terry Taylor do play-by-play for the remainder of Raw. Next up on Raw, it's Ken Shamrock vs Goldust. On Nitro, we've got Booker T vs Scott Steiner. The Nitro match sounds like a good one, so let's check that out first. Dirty Copper, Steiner and Buff get in the ring and Scott says there's nothing finer than Scott Steiner. All these guys in the arena go to the gym in hopes of looking like Big Papa Pump, but they should just save their gym membership money, buy a case of beer and watch Scotty Steiner do his thing on Nitro every week. Buff Bagwell says he tried to talk Booker T out of this match, Booker wouldn't listen, so Bagwell invites Mr. T to come out to the ring to get his ass kicked by the big bad booty daddy. The TV title's up for grabs in this one. Scott goes down after a forearm strike and a spin kick. Steiner takes another kick and this forces him out of the ring for a moment. And Buff Bagwell has to remind Scott that he's Big Papa Pump and he can beat this guy without breaking a sweat. Buff's words must have worked because Steiner brings it down to the mat and Booker's now in trouble. Buff approves as his BFF beats Booker T up in the corner, and when Scott finds himself in a bad spot again, all he has to do is hit a low blow. Clothesline from Big Papa Pump, elbow drop from Big Papa Pump, Bagwell gets in a cheap shot on the outside and Booker gets thrown into the guardrail by Scott Steiner. When the two get in the ring again, Booker fires back with his running forearm, but Scott no-sells it and we see another Steiner line. Steiner delivers a belly-to-belly suplex followed by a backbreaker. He punishes Booker when the challenger tries to steal a victory with a small package. Scott then delivers his double underhook powerbomb and Booker's been getting absolutely destroyed in this matchup. Booker gets an opening and he takes an advantage with a swinging neckbreaker followed by the axe kick. A flapjack puts Scott back on the mat, Booker gets a surge of energy after performing the spin-a-rooney, and Scott takes the Harlem sidekick. We'll have a new TV champion if Booker can just hit the heatseeker, but no. Buff Bagwell rears his ugly head and Booker gets taken out. The Steiner recliner gets locked in, Booker gets knocked out. Scott Steiner retains his television title and he celebrates by hitting Booker T with a steel chair. Booker's going to get another opportunity at the TV title at Uncensored, even though he's the number one contender for the US belt. Scott Hall, the current US champion, has suffered a foot injury and he won't be seen again until October 99. Over on Raw, we learn that Goldust and Ryan Shamrock are now an item. This relationship clearly upsets the Blue Meanie, who's now aligned himself with Goldust, but both of these lads should be more concerned about Ken Shamrock, who's waiting patiently in the ring. The match here is very short. It starts on the outside with Ken Shamrock in control. However, when it gets inside the ropes, Kenny Boy gets kneed in the balls and slapped across the face. Shamrock then gets set up for the Shattered Dreams, and Meanie, for some reason or another, decides to kiss Ryan Shamrock. This distracts Goldust, and Shamrock takes advantage with a belly-to-belly suplex. Shamrock wins via pinfall, and again, I'm pretty confident the WWF had no idea what to do with Ryan Shamrock, and they're just keeping her around right now for eye candy. The Mean Street Posse then take a little time to put Shane McMahon over again. Their antics around the mean streets of Greenwich sound super, super hardcore. And then we see Patterson and Briscoe, who have dressed up as druids so they can infiltrate the Ministry of Darkness. They believe the Ministry's behind that very door, and Jerry Briscoe reckons he and Patterson could take them all right now. When they eventually bust through the door, they find the Godfather and a few of his creatures, and the Godfather knocks both guys to the floor before slamming the door shut again. Good try, boys. Good try. X-Pac vs. Test is up next on Raw. On Nitro, Mean Gene interviews Jerry Flynn. Jerry Flynn. Mean Gene says Jerry Flynn's got himself a 2-on-1 match this week at Uncensored. It's Flynn versus Ernest the Cat Miller and Sonny Ono. Sounds absolutely delightful, borderline magical. Flynn doesn't get a chance to talk about his upcoming match because he gets interrupted by Sonny Ono. Ono wants to bribe Flynn with a few measly bucks, but Jerry Flynn's a man of honour and he's a man who can't be bought. So Ernest Miller shows up to kick him from behind, and Flynn loses all his magical powers when Sonny Ono cuts off his little ponytail. That's right, Jerry Flynn's becoming a modern man, and he decided to get rid of the magnificent mullet. Times are changing, folks, either you keep up or you get left behind. On Raw, Shane McMahon and Chyna come down the ringside to get a closer look at this Test vs. X-Pac match. Remember, X-Pac meets Shane at WrestleMania for the European Championship. Things didn't start well for X-Pac after he got tossed out of the ring. He tried to fight back with his corner kick combo, but the big man performed a big boot and Waltman hits the mat pretty hard. Test tries to put his opponent away with a sidewalk slam, but he only gets a 2, so there's only really one thing to do at a time like this, isn't there? Yeah, it's chinlock time. Chinlock o'clock. Test misses a top rope move, X-Pac fires back with a jumping clothesline, a spinning wheel kick puts Test in position for a Bronco Buster, and that's when Chyna gets in the ring. Fortunately for X-Pac, Triple H pulls Chyna back out of the ring. Unfortunately for X-Pac, this gives Shane a chance to smack him in the head with the European title. Test wins the match via pinfall, and Triple H is not happy. Hunter chases Shane around the ring, and Chyna intercepts Triple H with a clothesline before heading back up the ramp with the European champ. Hunter's had enough. He says he's gonna go back, he's gonna find Chyna, he's gonna drag her down to the ring, and he's gonna embarrass her in front of the whole world. After a commercial break, we see Hunter looking for Chyna backstage, but we'll come back to this in just a moment. Steve motherfucking Blackman vs. The Godfather is up next on Raw. On Nitro, it's Rey Mysterio vs. Scott Norton. So Blackman comes to the ring looking for a fight, but instead he gets asked a serious question. He can fight The Godfather tonight as planned, or he can take one of The Godfather's creatures home and show off his lethal weapon. Now, I don't expect Blackman to- wait, he wants both of them? What the hell? Right, okay, I can explain this. Steve plans on bringing the guards back to his hotel room where he'll discuss the importance of getting a regular job and visiting church every Sunday. But hold up, here's Darren Drozdov to ruin all the fun. Draw sends Blackman back into the ring, the Godfather joins in on the fight, the lights then go out and, yeah, you guessed it, the Undertaker's here once again, and he's still looking for the big boss man. The Ministry beat up Draws and Godfather. They don't beat up Blackman because they know better. The Undertaker wonders how many more innocent people need to get hurt before Bossman shows his face. And then the Undertaker promises everyone that there's going to be a sacrifice tonight. Scary stuff. So can Rey Mysterio slay another giant on Nitro? The odds are definitely in his favour as he makes his way down to the ring. Mike Tenay reveals that Eddie Guerrero is going to be signing autographs at the Cow Palace soon, and we also get reminded that Hacksaw Jim Duggan made his return to wrestling on Thunder this past week, so it's good news all around. Norton starts off strong, as expected, with a hard chop followed by a choke throw. It looks like Norton's not taking this seriously at all as he talks to the camera before slamming Mysterio to the mat, and when Rey gets knocked out of the ring, it looks like he's having second thoughts. The match resumes with Norton pulling off an effortless suplex, and Rey looks like he's about to cry after taking another hard chop. Norton continues to mock Rey as the poor guy rolls around on the mat, and after getting dumped out of the ring like a piece of garbage, Rey climbs back in only to take more punishment. Norton goes for the powerbomb and Rey lands a few punches, but this just pisses Scott off and Norton hits Mysterio with a huge gut-wrench powerbomb. Scott had the match won, but he decided to break his own cover just so he could dish out more punishment. We then see a one-handed slam from Scott Norton, absolutely incredible, but Mysterio ends up kicking Norton in the balls, and that's how Mysterio wins this match. Not even joking, a kick to the nuts and Rey picks up a victory. Honestly though, this was still a fun match. Out of all of Rey's big opponents these past few weeks, Scott Norton definitely came across as the most dominant. Rey faces Kevin Nash again this Sunday at Uncensored, so let's see if Mysterio can do it again. You're not going to believe this. Bret Hart vs. Van Hammer is next on Nitro. I'm completely lost for words. On Raw, Chyna and Hunter have a confrontation, plus we've got Luna vs. Tori. So Chyna says she's not that hard to find, and yeah, I'd agree, she's standing out quite a bit tonight, isn't she? She calls Hunter out to the ring, and Triple H doesn't notice that he's walking right into a trap laid out by his former valet slash bodyguard. The lights go out in the arena, the big red machine shows up, Triple H tries to fight him off, but Chyna grabs Hunter, and then... Kane shoots a fireball from his devastating flame finger and Chyna gets her face melted. Both Kane and Triple H run over to check on Chyna, but Kane throws Hunter and a few EMTs out of the ring. Remember, Kane knows what it feels like to get his face burned, so the big red machine can sympathize. He says, "Sorry, I'll never spam Hadoukens ever again," as he carries Chyna back up the rampway, and backstage he nurses Chyna while the ninth wonder of the world wraps a towel around her face. If Kane can shoot fireballs from his finger, why hasn't he done it before? Tori then gets brought to the ring by Sable. Sable has a copy of her new Playboy magazine just for Jerry Lawler, and the King's eyes pop out of his skull when looking at the photos. Terry Taylor wasn't allowed to look. It's obvious that the action in the ring is secondary to Sable promoting her Playboy magazine. Luna punches Tori over and over again before choking her out on the mat. We keep cutting over to the commentary table where Terry Taylor still isn't allowed to look at Sable's photo shoot, and then the match just abruptly ends when Luna won't let go of a chokehold. Meanwhile, it's all fun and games at the commentary desk and Jerry Lawler continues to drool over Sable's pictures. And then Sable gets up, she gets in the ring and she shoves Tori to the mat. Tori takes a few kicks before getting the shirt ripped off her back. Sable then dances in the ring while Tori seems very distraught. And it all ends with Sable going back to get her magazine from Jerry Lawler while this guy here tries to seduce Sable with his raunchy dance moves. Streets say he didn't get laid. Backstage, the Undertaker's finally found the Big Boss Man. The Ministry launch an attack while the Dead Man watches on. It looks like it might be time for a sacrifice on Raw. Speaking of sacrifices, here's Bret Hart sacrificing his soul to wrestle Van Hammer on Monday Nitro. It's a sorry state of affairs that honestly made me cry a little when watching. Like, you know, think of the possibilities just by looking at the other talent who appeared on Nitro. We could have had Bret Hart vs. Raven, Bret Hart vs. Chris Jericho, Bret Hart vs. Rey Mysterio. No, here's Van fucking Hammer, go out and have a great match, Bret. This big J-Brone actually tries to out-wrestle His Excellency before sending Bret to the outside. Bret's still in shock that he has to compete in this match, but he gets back in there and he shows Van Hammer how it's supposed to be done. Hammer thinks he's hot stuff with his little hammerlock right here, but Bret punches him in the mouth and Van Hammer begs to get sent back to the lower mid-card. Hammer tries to get cute again, so the hitman delivers a low blow, and we enter familiar territory with Bret working over the leg and knee. A few fans in the crowd get bored, so they start having their very own wrestling match. I mean, it caught my attention, so good job lads. And yeah, this just plays out as normal here, with Bret staying hyper-focused on the leg and knee and Hammer really not having a chance. He does get an opportunity when pulling off a backslide, but Bret kicks out and the hitman punishes his opponent at the ring post. Another break comes when Van Hammer pulls Bret into the opposite ring post, and this leads to Hart taking the Cobra Clutch Slam, Van Hammer's finishing move. Bret kicks out and he dodges an enziguri, the fans get on their feet as Bret applies a sharpshooter, and that's the end of our match. Brett's pretty annoyed at having to wrestle this chump, so he goes back to his old ways and he attacks Van Hammer with a steel chair. If this means Brett's going back to being the vicious hitman of mid to late 98, then I'm all for it, though I'm pretty sure it'll all be forgotten about next week. Hogan and Nash take over the commentary desk next on Nitro. On Raw, the big boss man gets sacrificed. So the boss man gets dragged out to the entranceway, he gets put up on the Undertaker symbol, and Taker says the corporation will fall until there's only one left, and then she will be the Undertaker's. Who is this she the Undertaker's talking about? The boss man gets lifted up in the air, but then he's able to free himself and he jumps back down from the symbol. Good job, boys. This leads to a brawl breaking out between the Ministry of Darkness and the corporation, and just when the lads were having a great old time beating each other up, the 5-0 arrive and the Undertaker starts beating up dirty coppers. The fighting stops, the cops want to arrest the Undertaker, and the Undertaker seems pretty happy to get handcuffed, so happy that he even sets off his pyro while holding his hands out. Something's up here though, the Undertaker's got a plan. He seems way too happy to be arrested, and Paul Bearer's calling someone on the phone. It all looks like it was supposed to go down like this, and the Prince of Darkness is content to get inside a police car and take a trip downtown. Vince McMahon loses his mind while screaming at the Undertaker, and Vince is told to step away from the vehicle, or he too will get arrested and brought downtown for a good old seeing too. I'm enjoying watching this story play out again, by the way. The WWF used to be extremely good at keeping viewers hooked in with storylines like this, so I'm looking forward to seeing how it all plays out again, even though we all know what ends up happening. On Nitro, the commentators are hyping up the uncensored main event, Hogan vs Flair inside a barbed wire steel cage. As always, I'll be covering the event on the channel, so please subscribe if you haven't done so already. But enough of all that nonsense, here comes Hulk Hogan and Kevin Nash to take over the commentary desk. Hogan and Nash want to see what happens in our upcoming Flair vs Goldberg match. Tony Schiavone says he's honoured to sit with Nash and Hogan while staring at his format sheet, and Big Kev says don't worry, he and Hogan are just here to see the war in Worcester. Schiavone says Flair's like a man possessed right now, and Hogan says we all know what Flair's about, he's a dirty, rotten, stinking hyena, and Kevin Nash says he and Hogan have told a few little lies about Flair over these past few weeks, but Flair hasn't sold these lies at all. Nash finds this a bit strange and he thinks Flair might be losing his marbles. Hogan says the NWO have come clean about Flair, it feels good to tell the truth, and Nash laughs while saying, we're so good at telling the truth. Ric Flair vs Bill Goldberg ends Nitro this week. On Raw, it's Mankind vs Stone Cold Steve Austin. So we've got The Rock on commentary for this Raw main event, and we've got Paul White officiating the match. Austin greets The Rock before Paul White tries to check Stone Cold over for any hidden foreign objects. Mankind tries to take the early advantage, but he ends up taking a few right hands, and Austin has a chance to end it with a stunner. Mankind escapes though, and Austin gets clotheslined out of the ring. Mankind's able to keep the advantage here, and Rock's pretty pleased with how things are turning out. Stone Cold isn't in a good spot, but he's able to avoid getting sent through the announce table, and instead, Mick Foley gets backdropped and Austin gets vicious. All The Rock cares about is his WWF title belt that's in danger of getting wrecked right now. Back in the ring, Mankind gets suplexed and he ends up going to the apron where Austin gets his neck snapped on the top rope. The crowd are chanting Foley's name, which is quite surprising when you consider his opponent tonight, but it is still good to hear. Austin then does a little damage at the ring post as Rock talks about the WrestleMania main event. He knows the referee situation could change the match completely, but it's still going to end with a Rock bottom and a people's elbow. The crowd's now chanting Austin's name as Stone Cold gets pummeled in the corner. Mick then misses a running knee strike at the ring steps and Stone Cold makes his opponent pay. The two then share sleeper holds in the middle of the ring, and Mick brings it down with a front face lock. The Rock's not happy that Paul White's communicating with him from the ring as Mick moves into a chin lock, and when Stone Cold gets up, we see a double clothesline. The Rock then tells Paul White to start counting, and White doesn't look happy at all at getting bossed around. This is quite a strange relationship Rock has with Mr. White, isn't it? Mankind takes a mud hold stomp and Stone Cold's not happy with Paul White's slow count afterwards. Mick performs the double arm DDT and Mr. Socko then makes an appearance. Mick's unable to lock in the mandible claw until Austin ends up on the ring apron, and Paul White gives a fast 10 count here and Stone Cold loses the match. It's a count out victory for Mankind. Rock isn't happy. This means Mick Foley has once again earned the right to referee the WrestleMania main event. Paul thinks he's making it up to Rock by hitting Mick with a chokeslam, but the Rock's still pissed off. Vince McMahon comes down to the ring as Austin approaches the big man. Vince is trying to cool everyone down and get Paul out of the ring, but The Rock decides to jump Stone Cold and the crowd pop when these two start throwing down. Austin sends Rock out of the ring. The commentators wonder why Paul and Rock just don't team up to take out Stone Cold, but Vince is forcing his men back up the rampway while saying he has a plan. That's how Raw ends. It wasn't a great main event, but it was easily the best match on Raw. Okay then, so we have the WCW president and number one contender for the world belt facing Bill Goldberg in the Nitro main event. If this doesn't end in DQ, I'll cut my balls off on livestream. Kevin Nash says he has no idea why Ric Flair wears his knee pads below his knees. He says they're essentially shin pads he's wearing, and yeah, fantastic observation here from Big Sexy. Flair gets shoved to the mat twice when going for a collar and elbow. A shoulder block doesn't budge Goldberg at all, and the Nature Boy gets planted with Goldberg's military press power slam. Flair then tries to walk away from the match. Goldberg scoops him up on the entranceway, and back in the ring, the dirtiest player in the game decides to poke Goldberg in the eye before delivering a low blow. Goldberg takes a few chops and Flair has no idea what to do next, so he hits another low blow, and this gets followed up with more underhanded tactics. Basically, Flair knows he has to cheat in order to beat Bill Goldberg. As always, Goldberg eventually starts no-selling, and when he grabs Flair by the neck, he ends up taking low blow number 3. That's both nuts and his wee jackhammer now completely wrecked. Flair locks in the figure 4, Billy Boy reverses the pressure, and from here, Goldberg starts fighting back as we head into the final moments of the match. Flair takes a clothesline, he then takes his corner bump that sends him out of the ring. Rick tries a top rope move, but he gets slammed to the mat, and Goldberg then lines up a spear, but he ends up missing his target. This allows Flair to hit a suplex, and again, Goldberg no-sells it. And there it is, Ric Flair gets speared out of his boots. The NWO then appear from the audience, and the referee calls for the bell. Goldberg tries to fight everyone off, but when Hogan and Nash join in, the NWO easily get the upper hand. Nitro fades out with both Goldberg and Ric Flair getting their asses kicked by the NWO, and I'm not sure if this was the most effective way to build up the Uncensored, but there you have it. Raw wins Reliving the War this week. I didn't think Raw was great or anything, but it was way better than Nitro. WCW presenting 0 matches in R1 is an absolute joke, but as mentioned earlier, it was kinda nice to get all this nonsense out of the way first so we could sit down and watch uninterrupted matches back to back. So in a way, I can see why they experimented with the format, but it is a wrestling show, and a wrestling show without matches for a whole 60 minutes is laughable. There's no defending it. Raw's on 88 points, Nitro's on 69 points, nice, and we've got 19 ties on the board. Raw got another impressive rating this week, a 6.4. Nitro got a 4.4, which is still a fantastic number, it's just not as good as the competition's. Uncensored 99 is the next video in the Reliving the War timeline. Flair vs Hogan inside a barbed wire steel cage, Kevin Nash vs Rey Mysterio, Scott Steiner vs Booker T, and loads more. Come over to the channel this Sunday to see what happens, or sign up on Patreon to watch Uncensored and Reliving the War episode 177 a little early. As always, thank you very, very much for watching, I do appreciate it, and please take care.